Makes up for it.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, I have a number of things to say in this week's parsha, which is, as many most parshas are, jam-packed. The first thing I'll say is something that I actually, the Matoka Orphan from Shlomo Levinstein, who we heard, who we had the opportunity to hear from, I think I may have been very interested in buying this set of Sfarim because of this vort that I saw when I borrowed it, when I was using it in the shul many years ago. I was always wondering why in the world the Kaddish Baruch Hu allowed the Chartumim to mimic and duplicate the first two matches of Daven Sfaradeh. I never understood, what was the point of that? When I opened up this sefer, and the truth is, usually with Shlomo Levinstein, he compiles for other people, he doesn't give a source for this word. But yes, why is it? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow Chartumim to the ability to perform the matches of Daven Sfaradeh? So he answers with a beautiful mashal, that there was a guy who had a certain natural talents in becoming an artist. And he lived in some far-out village. And then, over time, he decided, you know what, if he wants to perfect his talent, he's going to go to Paris. He's going to go to Paris and he's going to learn in the best art schools. And sure enough, after 5 years, he became the number one artist in Paris. And he came back to his village, and he showed them a painting, showed the people of the village a painting. And they're like, wow, this is amazing, this is amazing. And then a few minutes later, he said to them, by the way, this is not my painting. I said, so why'd you show it to me? So he said, if I were to come back to you guys and tell you that I'm the number one artist in Paris, which is the I guess, the art capital of the world, if that would be true, so then you'd say, okay, fine, it wouldn't mean anything to you. But if I went ahead and I showed you what is considered the second best, or something similar to my level, and I'm telling you I surpassed that level of greatness in being an artist, so then you can have a new appreciation for it. Says the Shlomo Levinstein, I think it's his own idea, that the same thing over here. If we had the story of the Makos and Yetzias Mitzrayim, people said, wow, there was these Makos, and the Egyptians, you know, were so stunned and so enamored by the Makos that they let the Jewish people go, you'd be like, you know what, that's because the Mitzrayim didn't know anything. They didn't know anything about miracles. They couldn't perform miracles. To them, what looked like a miracle wasn't really a miracle, wasn't the Makos, wasn't really a change of Teva. But now that the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow the Mitzrayim to basically mimic the Makos of Daven Sfaradeh, and they were so, and if you think about it, nowadays, or certainly in the future generations, who can actually do Mako of Dam, who can create Sfaradeh? Nobody can. So then, if that nation, that people, who was able to put forth people who could create Dam and Sfaradeh, even they are saying, Etzbel Okimi, so then it's postured that it's going to, people, it's going to make a person internalize the idea that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is running the world and supervises Teva and can change Teva. So I thought it was a beautiful chat, and that now you understand why Kaddish Baruch Hu allowed the Mitzrayim to have their Chartumim perform Daven Sfaradeh. That is number one. The number two point that I want to make is that I saw beautiful question. We know in this week's parasha it says, who Aaron and Moshe? So Rashi right away tells us that they're on equal level. Moshe and Aaron were equal. But if you look at the rest of the Chamisha Chumash Torah, we know that the Pasuk tells us, lo kam od Navi ki Moshe. There was never a Navi like Moshe. So how can you tell me that Aaron and Moshe were equal? Furthermore, we know that Aaron and Miriam are discussing the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu removed himself from Tzipora. So it says, lo kam Moshe Avdi. Well, Moshe has a different set of rules. I don't understand. How can the pasuk in our parasha say that Moshe and Aaron Moshe, right, goes back and forth and tell you that the shkulim, they're equal? Doesn't make any sense. So the Ksav Sofer asks this question. He answers a beautiful answer. He says that Dafka, what are they called Aaron and Moshe and Aaron? Dafka, when they're standing in front of Paro. Why are they equal? Because Aaron achieved greatness, extra greatness, while he's standing in front of Paro. Why? Because a lot people's egos are heavily involved in their personality. And here you have Aaron, who is known, even Paro knows that Aaron is the older one, Aaron is very chashuv, and all of a sudden Aaron is just a spokesman. He's Moshe Rabbeinu's second-hand, right-hand man. So, Dafka, in that situation, where Aaron, his natural thing should have been to feel sort of second-class and second-rate, and to be somewhat disappointed with his role, Dafka there, he was raw of a somewhat believable, he was happy for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he had no problem, he had nothing in his heart, no negias, no biases, that, oh, you know, I'm just a second-rate, I'm jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu. Dafka, since he expressed the fact that he had no jealousy and he was totally happy for Moshe Rabbeinu, that elevated his status to being equal to Moshe, because that mysterious nefesh, that he understood that he's fulfilling the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that this is his role. And since he had no jealousy inside, that's what allowed him to be considered, because of that feeling, that he was happy for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he had no jealousy at all, that sort of elevated his status to be equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the question is that, yeah, come on, like, what's the big deal? But of course, we don't know, right? We don't know what it means to be the vice president. We don't know what it means to be the second, right there. It happens, we know the Gemara tells us that if a person wants 100, he wants 200. If a person wants 200, he wants 400. As you go higher and higher in status, right, the increase in desire for kavod increases exponentially. So the Torah is telling us that we can't necessarily relate to the jealousy of not being the number one and how it feels to be number two, even if it means that you're, you know, considered in high regard. But I think that and actually, I could just point out, Rabbi Jacobson mentioned it a few weeks ago. This idea of being happy for other people, right? Persons, you know, it's so easy for us to be noisy but on chavero oftentimes, to say, oh, the person goes through a hard time, let me give him a helping hand. When it's very hard, the natural tendency is not to feel as much happiness as we should feel for other people when they do well on an exam, or when they matzliach in something, or they have a simcha. There's a certain level, there's always a tinge of jealousy, there's always a tinge of lack of complete happiness. You know, they say over that the best weddings, the happiest weddings? The happiest weddings are the weddings of older people. People who get married, you know, later in their 20s and 30s. What's the pshat? Because there's nobody, everybody's so happy for them, because all their friends are already married, basically. When a person goes to a wedding of a guy in his long 20s, so there are plenty of people who are not yet married, so it's not the pure simcha. But you go to somebody, an older person's wedding, it's mamash pure simcha. This is the yisod, and it's an avoda. The avoda is to be happy for other people. Now, how do you work on that midah of gaiva and kavod? How do you work on that midah? So I think just the only way to work on it is to understand emunah shleima mamish. That what's his is his. The fact that I have my role and he has his role, and this is a gzera of a kadosh baruch hu. The same way we can understand the gzera of a kadosh baruch hu, that this is min hashamayim, this is min hashamayim. This is also min hashamayim. But the problem is, the person thinks, no, it's because I didn't work hard enough. It's because he outdid me in that area. No, it's mamish nigzim min hashamayim. This is the way it's going to be. Hashkacha pratis mamish. The person thinks hashkacha pratis is the stories of hashkacha pratis or things that work out for him. But if he's making $100,000 and I'm making $60,000, oh, that's not hashkacha pratis. That's because, you know, I'm for whatever reason. And a person can feel like he's second rate. But the only way to not have those feelings is to mamish b'makir, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world and every single prat. And with that point, I heard this morning a beautiful idea that one of the ways you see hashkacha pratis is mamish, the slightest detail, to the most minor detail, is makas dam. When you think of makas dam, what happened to makas dam? The midrashim tell us that if the mitzrayim would pay for the water, so all of a sudden it would turn to dam, right? All of a sudden the dam would turn to water, and exactly how they worked it out, right? If he took it away from the Jew, it's dam. If he bought it from the Jew, it's water. So how, one would think, oh, hashkacha pratis is only big things. Even the slightest little bit, this little drop of water, depending upon how it was dealt with, it will dictate if it's going to be water or dam. Hashkacha pratis mamish. And this person that I listened to on the radio this morning said an amazing thing. He said that there was somebody who married off 10 children, and at the Sheva Brachos of his last child, so he said, I don't want to thank Hashem for all of his help. I don't want to thank Hashem. Hashem didn't help me with this. Hashem did not help me with the shidduchim. Hashem didn't help me with the shidduchim. Hashem made the shidduchim. Meaning, a person thinks, oh, you know, I had Hashem's help. That implies, okay, obviously it's a high level. That implies that you did something. Right? Hashem help me. Baruch Hashem help me. Hashem help me. That implies that you feel internally that you did something. And Hashem was just like the icing on the cake. He made it all work out. He said, no, it's not Hashem help me. Hashem made this happen from A to Z. Hashem made every one of my kids shidduchim happen from A to Z. Not, he didn't help me. He did it. And when a person has the hakara of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course you have to do his shadlis. A person has the recognition that Kadosh Baruch Hu's mom is doing every minor detail in this world. All of a sudden, there's no jealousy. Aaron understood. Moshe Rabbeinu, he is it. Hashem decided, this is it. This is the only option. This is the only way it's going to happen. Then of course he's happy for Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't even a possibility. Al pi derech hateva, al pi nature. There's no way that Aaron was supposed to be that. So if a person realizes it's like a brick wall, it's like, this is automatic. This is the way it has to be. And there's no other chance. So then he can be happy for Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's how you can live life. If you understand that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to you, saying, Goldschmidt, this is your job. That's not your job. That's not your job. This is your job. And Mamash clears a bell. If a person really feels that, he'll never be jealous of anybody. He'll always be happy for other people. That's number two. Okay, number three. So make sure I get all of them in. Number three that I saw, actually, this is... I was listening on the way here to Roy Olbam, who I listened to last week, and he actually said over a board, and I was like, okay, I want to send over the message. And actually, Ramal Friedman says the same, quotes the same word from Meir Shapiro Zatzal. Could be that he saw it here also, but Meir Shapiro says the following thing. It says, Ki dabar aleichem paro tunalchem moifiz v'amarte el aron kach es matcha v'hashlech v'ni paro yid l'sonim. That when you tell Aaron to take the staff and throw it in front of Paro, and it'll be a snake. So Meir Shapiro says, and Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that Paro is going to have a taina. Paro is going to say, "Listen, why are you guys Bnei B'chor Yisrael? Why are you the chosen ones, the Jewish of Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Halol of Avodah Zarah, the halol of the Avodah Zarah. Right? You guys over the Avodah Zarah, we're over the Avodah Zarah. Why can you call yourself the chosen ones? Why can you call yourself the chosen ones?" So how did he explain it? He explained it as follows. He answered with the snake. What did the snake do? He threw the snake down. And the snake had Shem Hashem on it. It was Mamash Shemesh Kedusha. But what did he do when he threw down the snake in front of Paro, into Paro's area? Turns into a snake. And when Moshe Rabbeinu touched the snake, turned back into a matzah, turned that back into a staff. Zuck Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro, we internally are called the Shutar. You know what our problem is right now? You know why we're all of the voters are? Because it's your environment. It's not because there's a problem with us. It's because in your environment. And that's why this stick that has the Shem of Hashem on it, all of a sudden it's in your domain, boom, it becomes a snake. Because it's you. You're the one who's causing it to be a snake. It's your environment. Masha Enkein, our stick, when we touch the snake, it becomes a stick. You see, Kor, and this is a lesson in life, and he says it over, that you can have the biggest tzaddik, you put him in a bad environment, it's dangerous. You take the biggest rasha, you put him in a good environment, there's a lot that can happen, there's a tremendous amount of hope. I mean, the other rayas, for example, I never heard this before, but it's a very important idea. The Shach writes, why did the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven not want to come to Eretz Yisrael? Because by the Degolim, by the flags, by the encampments, they were hanging out with Shimon. But in Shevet Shimon, they had Zimri. And he did something bad. And they were nervous about the Hashpah, so they didn't want to have to be permanent residents, permanent neighbors of Shevet Shimon. And that's why, according to the Shach HaAltara, that's why Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven wanted to stay in Chutz Aretz, because it's better to stay in Chutz Aretz with good neighbors than the Chas Shalom being Eretz Yisrael with neighbors that could have a negative influence too. And certainly the same thing with Sarah, where Sarah told Avraham Avinu, we got to get rid of Yishmael, can't be around Yitzchok. So you see the sort of environment. Listen, what better environment than there is to be in Yeshiva, to be in Yerushalayim HaKodesh? But a person has to remember this for life. The friends he chooses, the environments, the communities he lives in, the impact and the influence that a person's environment has on him, and I'm sure you already know this already, is exponentially influential on what you do and what your life is about. One more Yisod. There's also Rabbi Michael Friedman asking a tremendous question. In this week's parasha, we see that a number of... actually, I think the second one is the next week's parasha. But animals are getting rewarded. What animals are getting rewarded? So, in this week's parasha, the Sfaradim are getting rewarded. They're not dying out after the Makkah. Why? Because they're Moisa Nefesh. How are they Moisa Nefesh? They're Moisa Nefesh because they jumped into the fire. Into the ovens. But the Kalav and the dogs, they also get rewarded. I believe it's next week's parasha. Right? L'echatz kel v'shono. They didn't bark at the Jewish people when they were leaving. So we know, Parshas Mishpatim, l'kel v'tashlichen also, you give them the veils and trefas. Right? So I think it's, I'm not sure if his question is, but maybe it's, I think it's, oh no, it's the Rabbi Dovid Mitolna. He says, why is it that the Tzvardim, their reward was very short term? They're not going to die out after Tzvardaya. They were the ones who merged the nefesh to jump into the fire. Masha'en Cain, the dogs, what did they do? They just restrained themselves from barking, and they got an everlasting reward. So he said, and this actually, I should have said this before, this connected to the previous thing about honoring other people, is that doing something for yourself, like jumping into a fire, okay, it's very nice, that's for yourself, okay, you can go to nefesh. But not to bark at somebody else, to be monea, to restrain yourself from going after somebody in a negative fashion, that takes even more mysterious nefesh. I mean, you yourself, you believe in something, you'd be willing to risk your life for something that you believe in, great. But to be such a balmidos, not to bark at somebody, not to bark as a leaving to give away their, you know, escape or something like, you know, along those lines, that is an even greater level of mysterious nefesh. And the same is so, right? So often we want to bark at somebody, want to have a negative attitude towards somebody. So that mysterious nefesh, you don't have a negative attitude, you don't say anything negative to somebody, that has a greater power than jumping into a fire. At the end of the Malkus? At the end of the Malkus?
Yeah.
So some of them did not.
The animals didn't, but that's only because so that the Egyptians wouldn't get the hana of the hides.
Let's say that's
the frogs didn't.
But,
yeah.
The frogs died.
The frogs died.
I'm saying let's look this up.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. No. The Yalkut Shimoni. Look at the Yalkut Shimoni, okay? You want to look it up?
I mean, it says so in the Pasuk.
Just to clarify, we looked it up in the Yalkut Shimoni, and the Pshat is, it has to be, that we're talking about Dafka, the frogs who jumped into the fire. The ones who were Moshe Nefesh, who went into the fire, and went into the ovens, they actually lived, and that's in the Yalkut Shimoni in Kuf Pei Beis. Okay, just I actually found it in the Yalkut Shimoni at the end of Kuf Pei Beis in Yalkut on Parshat Va'era, to quote, Uma Par Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what was the reward and the payment HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him? All the frogs died, as Adam and Rashi pointed out. So you've seen an amazing thing. That even though they're moisten nefesh, which is a huge thing, that was a short-term reward. Mashenkin, the kolavim, all they did was withhold themselves from barking. The reward that they got was eternal, that they're always going to get, as the Pasuk says, they get the nevelos and shreifos. Have a wonderful Shabbos.